Welcome to the Digital Health Insights Podcast, where NZ Hit CEO Scott Arrell brings you key thought leaders to share their experience, views, and vision on all things digital health and more. Full tech enablement is essential for creating world-class health systems, and Scott's guests discuss how this can be achieved, the challenges that need addressing, the opportunities it creates, and the benefits delivered to health, disability, and social care services in New Zealand and worldwide.
Kia ora katoa. Hey, and welcome. And thanks for joining the show today. I hope that everything's going well for you. I'm sure that you've been busy looking forward to a break over the Christmas New Year period. I know I certainly am. And I know from my listeners and from my members of NZ Hit, who sponsor this channel, just how busy everyone's been. It's been a crazy year, this thing called COVID that came along out of the blue seemingly and just tipped things upside down for us. Just been fantastic, though, I have to say, how hard people have worked. And just in New Zealand, I mean, I'm sure everywhere else around the world, you know, have done what has been necessary to be done, you know, to look after each other and yourself. So good on you. And I just hope that you do get a good break at Christmas time. My guest today is Harry Hawke. He's the CEO of Web Tools Health. And he's also a board member on the NZ Hit board. He's an elected member, served 2 years, and which is the term that a board member serves and then can put their names back up for re-election, which Harry has done. So we've got our AGM coming up very shortly on the 9th of December. So I won't let the cat out of the bag about whether Harry continues to be a board member or not. So watch the space, in other words. And Harry's got an interesting background. He's been in the UK. He's worked over there with Hewlett-Packard. He's was a business analyst. He's director of operations at Well NZ here in New Zealand. As I said, he's a board member on NZ Hit. And he's been at Web Tools House for, nearly 4 years, doing some fantastic work there. So I know that you're going to really enjoy listening to Harry. And so therefore, I'm not going to hold you up too long. Only thing I want to ask you, though, big favor. Yeah, please subscribe, please share this channel and this episode. Share the love around, as I always say. Thank you very much. And I know that Harry's waiting for us now, so we better go have a chat, eh? Hi there, Harry. Hey, thanks for joining us. You've been a busy guy lately, I know. And, you know, apart from also touring around up north for a very special reason and then with your work at Web Tools Health. So how are things going for you down there in beautiful Canterbury in Christchurch?
Okay, Scott. Yeah, good to see you, mate. Things are going good. Yeah, we're just coming off the back of another good cup and show week down here in Canterbury, which has been good. I think things are going well. Been a bit of a crazy year, obviously, but as you kind of alluded to there, managed to tie the knot a couple of weeks ago. So I've been honeymooning around the Bay of Islands, which has been awesome. So yeah, I'm just work wise, I'm just kind of getting back into the swing of things a little bit, to be fair.
Yeah, excellent. That's good. And we've got international listeners as well, Harry. So I guess to give context, so you are in Christchurch in New Zealand, in the South Island of New Zealand, in the region of called Canterbury. And of course, as far as you're concerned, that's the only place to be in New Zealand. But your honeymoon was
up. This is where the magic happens down here, mate, for sure.
It all happens down there, that's right. But your honeymoon was up in what we call the Bay of Islands in New Zealand, which is right at the top part of New Zealand. If people are looking at the map in the North Island, the Bay of Islands is sort of, I guess it's about, 4 hours north of Auckland. And then, it's a beautiful part of the country, isn't it? It's a great place to visit. Great place to visit if you can get there. And at the moment, only New Zealanders can get there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we were stoked with it, eh? Like, it was probably one of the things where COVID forces you to kind of do things a little bit differently. Like, we probably would have been the first ones to book a trip to maybe Bali or Europe or somewhere like that. But, obviously forced to do a local honeymoon. But we loved it. It was kind of a completely different climate from down here in the South Island. So it kind of did feel like we're in some sort of Pacific island, to be fair. It was a great spot. We're stoked.
Yeah, and you do all the boating stuff. Did you go out to the hole in the rock and all that sort of thing?
You can do all that sort of stuff. I didn't actually do that. We stayed at a place near Russell, and we kind of took the opportunity to chill out, to be fair. We've got a 4-year-old, so we left him down in Christchurch. So it was nice just to kind of chill out. We did go across to Waitangi one of the days and had a trip around there, which was very interesting, to be fair.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. And hey, let's talk a bit about you rather than make this into a tourism show. But the international listeners know what I'm like. If I start talking about, there's two things that I get locked into with this is how great New Zealand is, and we've proven that through COVID as well. But then the other thing is rugby. So, but we'll talk about rugby a little bit on. My listeners will be disappointed if I don't do that. So, but hey, what about you? How does Harry Hawke, get to this point? What's a bit about your background and where you're from and where you're heading?
So where do I start? I guess I can start right back. I grew up in a place called Ashburton. Usually refer to that place as Ash Vegas these days. So it's about an hour south of Christchurch. So grew up down there. And eventually my family, my parents moved up to Christchurch. So yeah, pretty much born and bred here in Canterbury. Went to high school here and went to university here as well. Did a Bachelor of Commerce at the University of Canterbury, and sort of majored in strategy and entrepreneurship. Spent a few years there hanging out. Following that, landed a job with Hewlett-Packard actually in their graduate program. So it's based again in Christchurch initially with Hewlett-Packard. And then eventually I was, sort of quite keen to get out of Canterbury, being here pretty much all of my life. So I ended up transferring with Hewlett-Packard actually over to London for a couple of years. So really enjoyed that. London was a very cool place to go and live and work for a couple of years and explore Europe and bounce around there. That was very cool. Eventually moved back. So I've been back in Christchurch about 4 years now since we've been in London. In terms of where I've landed up at the moment, so I run a company called Web Tools Health. I'm the CEO, and how that company sort of eventuated, I met a bloke called Brett O'Donnell right after I got back from London, and Brett owns Web Tools, the group. So it's effectively a group of companies all focused on software, app development, and technology. Initially, Web Tools was very much focused on the energy sector. So when I was chatting to Brett, he was just sort of starting to look at other opportunities for where Web Tools could go, and he had already kicked off a couple of projects that were all in the health space. And that's probably when he sort of got involved with you, Scott, and NZ Health IT, understanding who the players were and what the whole sector as a whole looked like. And yeah, that's when I sort of teamed up with him. We started doing a couple of projects, and from that point I was pretty hooked, to be fair, on both software and app development, but as well as the health space. Jumping into projects and delivering some sort of piece of software or some sort of app within a couple of weeks or a couple of months that could actually have pretty wide ranging sort of effects on people and their health and everything was very cool. So that's kind of how I ended up teaming up with Web Tools. Eventually we kind of saw that we had enough momentum and everything and enough opportunities with what we saw to spin Web Tools Health up as a separate entity. Those all know the sector. There's definitely specific technologies and it can be quite different. So we sort of saw the need to build out our own team and own expertise that were focused on health. So we spun Web Tools Health out of the Web Tools company as its own entity. And yeah, that's been me for the last sort of 3 years, really, just building and growing that business. And this year has been another interesting year, as we all know. But I guess fortunate enough that we're in that sort of space where it's if anything, COVID sort of meant that we've just gone crazy this year. So it's actually been nice, probably just in the last sort of month or two, with things kind of calming down a little bit. We've sort of come over that craziness that we all sort of experienced in that first half of the year. Here I am, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, as you say, like with ANZ HIP members across the board, there isn't one of them saying, that they experienced a downturn, and it's been very good, really, in that respect, and that, our members were in a position that they took up a heck of a lot of the work and working with the Ministry of Health and DHBs and so on, to help through that period. So, yeah, and some of them are a bit like you saying, actually it's quite good at the moment, just to slow down a bit and get ready. Yeah, perhaps get ready for the next wave. Goodness forbid, of course. And a little bit of a secret, just to put you on the spot too, Harry. You're one of New Zealand's top bagpipe players, aren't you?
yeah, sort of. Seriously. My old man Richard, he learned the bagpipes as a teenager, and played them right through, and taught me and my two brothers. So we're kind of a family of bagpipers. I sort of played right throughout high school and went on to win a few New Zealand championships myself. Just with business and family, I sort of don't actively compete at the moment. One of those hobbies that never afraid to sort of bust them out for a cheeky wedding or something like that and have a tune.
I like it. Well, because my father was from Glasgow, so I have to. But I guess there's something in the blood, because when I hear good bagpipes being played, I get that chill down the back of my spine, which people do. You either get the chill because you get that feeling because you love it or you hate it, right? Some people say, I just hate the bagpipe, I'm the exact opposite to that.
I think it's a fair call. Pretty polarizing type of instrument, like you said. You either love them or you hate them. But I've been across to Glasgow a few times at St Andrews. We had a school band, and we went across to compete at the World Champs in Glasgow a number of times, and then with the Canterbury Caledonian, which is the top New Zealand band, which we're involved in here. I'm actually the chairman of the Grade One band. We go across and compete. We were supposed to go this year, but obviously that didn't happen at all. It's cool. I like Scotland. It's a cool place.
Yeah, great. Okay, cool. So what about web tools? So you're talking about web tools health, and you've touched on that a bit, but you've been busy. You've sort of that whole startup, you've gone through that startup phase, entrepreneur, into creating a business now that's starting rocking and rolling, as I put it. But how's it going? What is keeping you busy? And I know you've done a few things during the COVID situation as well to contribute into the health system. So why don't you give us a bit of background on that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So as I kind of mentioned, WebTools Health was spun out of WebTools, and we've effectively been self-funded from that point. We've focused on delivering, I guess, both really good services in terms of software and app development. So building new tools and stuff for organisations, so they'll come to us and say, "Hey, we've got this problem. Can you guys help us out?" And so we'll go with them on a bit of a journey around, identifying the issues and how do we solve those problems, and scoping and prototyping through to development and deployment of those apps. But we also have been focused on our own product development along the way as well, which has been really good. It's sort of given us the opportunity to expand our reach and expand our knowledge, really within the health sector, and then identify those opportunities for actually developing technology that we can properly productize along the way and then develop at scale. So we have a bit of a mix, and it has meant that we've kind of been in that startup mode, and we still are in that startup mode, particularly on the product sides of things. So, what products are we investing in? Where are the opportunities both here and abroad, right? But then we've also got a really mature services business where we're working, as you mentioned, with the likes of the Ministry of Health, CDHB here, Pegasus Health. So quite traditional sort of health sector clients, I guess. Obviously COVID happened, and we've always prided ourselves on being very agile, but also very, very fast to deliver. And we started to see opportunities with the likes of COVID happening for doing some projects with clients that are, non-health sort of typical clients, I guess. So I guess one of the examples is we worked with KiwiRail very early on. They quickly identified the need to know exactly who was on their inter-islander ferry, but going between the North and South Island. When COVID happened, they actually didn't have a very effective mechanism of knowing exactly who was on. They obviously have their booking systems and everything. We actually worked with them, and over the course of 2 weeks, we deployed an app which was used on the Inter-Islander and is still being used. And that is one that we've productized and then taken further. We've deployed that with the Christchurch Council down here and with CDHB, and we've actually just signed a bit of a deal with the Vanuatu government as well. So that's a good example of how we work with organizations to help solve their problems and then look to see how that technology can be used in other use cases or work for other organizations.
Cool. And were you involved in the Athena app, that side of things as well?
Yeah, correct. So we worked with the ministry on that, and that was quite a cool story, I think. I mean, initially, when COVID happened, as you do when you're kind of in the technology space, and to be fair, I think probably about 400 companies in New Zealand thought, like, right, we can build an app to solve COVID. so we started to think, you know, how could we potentially help? We sort of pride ourselves on, you know, collaboration and partnership. So we don't think we know it all. We certainly don't, hide away in our garage building stuff and then hope that the world's going to buy it later on. So we worked with a couple of guys at CDHB quite early on around what they were seeing. One of them, Dr. Jeff Shaw, is an ICU specialist. So we're engaged with him on, you know, where did he see the big challenge for the likes of him and his day-to-day job were going to be. And that's when we effectively started that kind of co-design collaboration on what an app might look like that could be very useful. And then very quickly, we kind of, worked with some of the CDHB executives, and then eventually we got passed through to the ministry to work with their team and actually bring it to life and launch it. So, that's been a cool opportunity to work with the ministry on that.
And you said CDHB, and again, for international listeners, that's the Canterbury District Health Board, which New Zealand's got 20 district health boards that currently. It might change in the future, but of course, being from down your way, Harry, Canterbury DHBs are the best one in the country, isn't it, as far as you guys are concerned? it's a bit like your rugby team. Why don't you tell me a bit about your Canterbury rugby team this year? What's happening there, mate? You only just squeaked in the other day.
Unfortunately, both Canterbury and the All Blacks haven't been going great in recent weeks, have they? not a great couple of weeks for rugby in Canterbury.
That's right. And again, for the international listeners, my regular audience, they know they're probably rolling their eyes at the moment, saying, "Oh no, here goes Scott again." But for those that don't know, the Canterbury area, they have the Super Rugby team, which is called the Crusaders, and then there's the what's called the provincial team, which is called Canterbury, and different competitions they play in, of course. But of course, the Crusaders, for so long, they've been so successful, but mainly because they rob all the other provinces of their best players. Hardly any of them actually come from Canterbury, do they? So.
shots fired. Plenty of local talent, like your Richie McCaw, done a great job right throughout the ranks here. Good St. Andrews lad.
Wasn't he from North Otago or something like that?
I wasn't aware of that.
I'm pretty sure he's an Otago boy originally.
I don't actually know that, damn it. Walk straight into that one.
You did, mate. Now, Richie, Richie's superhuman. And again, for listeners, he was the greatest of all time, the GOAT, GOAT. There's a whole group of us that want Richie to be the Prime Minister one day. So
did I say McCaw? I meant Moanga, sorry.
Oh, Richie Moanga. Okay. Actually, Harry, for the listeners, Harry's been very subdued. Usually if someone like me, particularly coming from Auckland, start to poke the bear in terms of the Crusaders and Canterbury, you usually get pretty get your head bitten off, don't you? That's good.
Not me, mate.
But I have to condition it. The audience also knows I'm not a Blues supporter, mate. I'm a Highlanders man. That's why I know that where Richie came from.
Gotcha. How did they go on the Super Rugby Aotearoa this year?
Oh, they were pretty good, actually. They decided that they wouldn't be too tough on the other teams this year. It was good of them, you know. Hey, you know, let's get back into And again, my listeners know once I get Blinken locked into this, it suddenly becomes a sports podcast, not a health digital health one. So, for most Kiwis, isn't it? You can't really discuss one thing without rugby or sports coming into it at some point.
Yeah, that's right. Definitely.
So, web tools. Where in terms of just where you're at now? I know you've been building your team, so that reflects the growth in your business. So you're quite busy trying to grab get some more people on board, are you?
Yeah. We've been growing pretty steadily, to be fair. I think as I mentioned, sort of been operating over the last sort of 3 years, and each sort of year we've effectively doubled both revenue and sort of size of the team as well. So experienced pretty decent growth over the last 3 years, which has been great. Our other sort of, I guess, sister companies been doing the same sorts of things. So I guess we broadly sort of operate in sort of three verticals, which is the energy, agriculture, and health. So the agriculture is kind of the more recent addition to the group. But we've been assisting with them on a few projects. The energy business, sort of a little bit of news hot off the press. That's actually just recently been acquired, which is pretty exciting for Brett, my business partner, who has been basically built that business from the ground up over the past probably sort of 7 or 8 years. It's been a big journey for him, but yeah, he's done a bloody good job. So I guess for us in the health space, great news in the sense that we've got the ability to almost really go after what we want. We've got plenty of opportunity to invest into new products and new markets and everything, which is great. So that's where we're focused. As I sort of mentioned previously, we're identifying and looking for opportunities, further abroad. So, as I mentioned, the likes of your Vanuatu opportunities, but also in Australia and further around the Pacific and into Asia. So, I guess we're kind of in that nice sort of space at the moment where I think we've kind of built up a bit of maturity with both our products and our team. And we almost kind of feel like we can take on the world at the moment. So we're really looking to what are our plays over the next wee while, and where do we head? Yeah.
Mm. And the other thing that you're involved in down there, and I poked the stick a bit at Christchurch and Canterbury, but that, in fact, it's out of huge respect because there's a lot going on down your way in Christchurch with the health tech supernode and the whole collaborative approach down there, and the environment, or let's say the ecosystem that's being built to support health technology firms like yourself and attract more. Canterbury Tech have just been putting on their summit. Yep. If I've been using the right term, so that's just been the last day or two, hasn't it? So, tell us a bit about that, because you're involved in that supernode, and I think that's important for people to know, even if you're in New Zealand and you're not aware, or if you're internationally, there's a massive stuff happening down in your area.
Yeah, it's dead right. It's really cool, actually. It's nice to we just had a Canterbury Tech Summit yesterday, so that's an annual event. Where all sorts of technology providers, developers, whoever, basically come together for a day, and lots of stuff gets showcased and meet a whole bunch of people and hear what's going on. It is actually really incredible, the sort of stuff that's going on in Canterbury that you just don't realize. Like, I mean, health in itself, Canterbury is a great area for us to be based. There's lots of stuff going on. There's lots of collaboration. It's obviously been driven by the likes of Christchurch NZ, the Supernode, also by the CDHB. Stellar Ward's done a great job over the past 10 years around really fostering that innovation and helping that innovation sort of come to life. But even health is almost just like a little bubble in itself. And when you start to hear some of these other things that are going on in Canterbury, it's pretty incredible to just companies that are doing crazy things, and they just fly under the radar, right? Like, it's cool. But I think that's why I like Cantabs, to be fair. Over maybe some of your other regions, like there's a genuine, I don't know, there's something about it where I think everyone's genuinely pretty keen to help each other and sort of partner up and collaborate and stuff. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just kind of like that right size, you know, whatever we are down here, maybe 400,000. We kind of know enough people to know someone else that can put you in touch with the right people, and sort of very easy to build partnerships and build relationships locally here, which is cool. And good support networks around the show.
That is correct, and you feel that almost now, that vibe's there. And with the, you know, obviously there was the earthquake, which was pretty devastating quite a few years back, but the rebuild has sort of gathered pace, and, you know, the development of the precincts, you know, like there's the health precinct and the justice precinct and so on. And, you know, I think that's made a, you know, huge difference, isn't it? And, you know, just, and it's a cool, let's say it's a cool place. So, you know, lifestyle wise, you know, when you're talking about attracting people to work in that area, you know you're not far from the snow if you're into the skiing, and, you know, of course there's rugby, but there's other sports. I think there's other sports played down there, isn't there? Maybe cricket. We have pretty good cricket teams from down that area.
So good cricket team, yeah. Well. Good Canterbury cricket team, yeah. No, I mean, yeah, there's heaps to do, and I mean, I'm not a huge outdoors sort of guy, but yeah, obviously people like the proximity. To the Port Hills, where there's mountain biking, we've got the adventure park as well, and then obviously you can be surfing out in Sumner, or you can be up at Mount Hutt on the weekend on the slope. So it is a cool place, and I think when you've been sort of like living here throughout this whole rebuild period, even though I had a couple of years in London, even just over the last 4 years, it's sort of easy to forget the sort of steady progress that has been made. Like, my brother came back from Canada for the wedding, and he's been away for, I think, probably about the last three or four years, he was pretty blown away to be fair, just around, you know, the vibe that the city's got again, and the things to do and things to see. So cool.
Yeah, and I've sort of, and this is coming from a non-Cantabrian, but, you know, sort of got over themselves over the last few years about foreigners coming in, you know, and, you know, foreigners being anybody that is not from Christchurch. So, so the whole change that's gone on down there is really, I think that's been a catalyst to it as well. You know, I think at some point Christchurch realised that, you know, they need to embrace people coming in that haven't, you know, that weren't born and bred there, and it's added to the mix, isn't it? Yeah, I think that's changed quite a bit of it as well. And because I've done business and worked with in the health sector, and down that way for many years, you know, probably talking 15 plus years, and I've noticed that the change has been significant, which in a very positive way, and you can see it in the and you can feel it in the vibe as well. Plus, you know, as you mentioned, you know, where you come from, Ashburton, Ash Vegas, you know, it's about an hour away south. You can go inland, say to townships like Oxford, you know, beautiful places, and then a bit further north to Rangiora. There's even some pretty good wines being grown, developed in the area, and craft beer. Gosh, yeah, we're selling Canterbury and Christchurch, aren't we? You know, your problem now is going to be you're going to have so many people wanting to just come work for you because they want to live there.
That's right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I like to think we've always been pretty welcoming to people outside of Canterbury, but you've obviously been around a little bit longer than me, Scott. But it is a good place, and funny you should say that. We're literally on Friday afternoon, me and Brett and the Web Tools board are heading out for a little bit of an excursion. So yeah, we're going to go North Canterbury and go check out some wineries and head to a craft beer brewery as well. So that's within, you know, sort of 30-40 minute drive here. So it's good. It's a cool spot, and as we've sort of been growing the team, I've been, you know, chatting to the likes of recruiters, and they're obviously seeing a little bit of a talent shortage, as are we, particularly in the Canterbury region, and part of what their role is now is actually going to the likes of your Aucklands and your Wellingtons, and actually trying to recruit people and sort of sell them the dream of moving down here, because I think there's so much growth and so much stuff happening here that we are going to need to attract talent from around the show for sure.
No, I agree. I think, it is that sort of area that you can do that. And I know. Yeah, it's because you know what I'm like. Probably over the years, I've probably put Cantabrians' backs up because I'm never short of poking the stick at their rugby team. So that never helps, I guess. There's been sometimes I've been wondered if I was going to get tarred and feathered and put on a plane back to Auckland. So.
And we're a pretty friendly bunch at the end of the day.
No, I was gonna say that probably says more about me than it does about you guys.
I guess given the fact you're not a Blues supporter, you can probably give us a few more jibes than if you're actually a Blues supporter. So.
That's right, yeah. But I just wish the Highlanders would get across the line a bit more. Hey, now let's talk about the time machine. You've probably heard of that before. My audience definitely has. So I give you the keys to my time machine. I always say, don't get your hopes up, because it's not like the TARDIS. You know, if you're a Doctor Who supporter, it hasn't got leather. It's pretty basic, mate. No leather seats, no nothing like that. So, but anyway, give you the keys to the time machine. Put you in there. Push the button to 2030, 10 years from now. If things pan out the way that you'd like to see them pan out, what does good look like when you get out of that machine in the year 2030? What would the health system be like as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, it's a really good question, actually. And it's actually really good to think about, because I think that asking those sorts of questions and thinking about where you want to be and that kind of 5 to 10 year time range helps drive a bit of your strategy and some of the decisions you make now, right? Because it's not going to just happen. So it's definitely been something that I've been pondering in the past few months as we kind of plan the next year, the next 3 years, the next 5 years. I think for me, like we have got a very, very good opportunity here in New Zealand. We know that things are relatively fragmented, and you mentioned the 20 DHBs, and even at a sort of system or technical level, we know that there's a lot of fragmentation and lots of clunkiness in the system. But the opportunity, right? So I think there's heaps of opportunity, and it's pretty cool to hear the likes of Shane Hunter and the ministry sort of lay out their sort of vision and strategy for the next sort of 5 to 10 years, and I think they've got it bang on. I think the challenge is actually making sure that comes to life and comes to fruition. And part of it is obviously having the likes of the leadership within the ministry to drive some of that. But I think as an industry, there's lots of opportunity for us to make sure that we're driving some of that change as well. So, I mean, my 10-year sort of preference is that, you know, we've obviously got a fully integrated and digitally enabled system, aligns with the likes of what NZ Health IT is trying to cultivate and achieve as well. I think for me, what I'd really like to see is making sure that we've got whatever we end up with, we've really got a system or a model that lets innovation and innovators really thrive. I think what's been really insightful for us over the last few years, while there's been lots of opportunities for the likes of a smaller kind of web tools to come in and do some cool stuff and disrupt things, it's definitely things could be happening a lot faster and at more scale if there was the right platform and the right ingredients within the sector for us to spin things up. Maybe they don't work. Sweet, shut them down. Move on to the next thing, whatever it might be. But just the way that we work at the moment as a whole sector, it can feel like a real grind at sometimes. So I guess my ideal in 10 years, we've got an integrated system, and we've got an environment where we can be quickly innovating and trying things, and effectively be a world leader, and export that technology and export that learning and really make health IT a really good exporter earner for New Zealand.
Great. Yeah, good. And yeah, you're right, actually, because even through COVID, when we were in lockdown here in New Zealand, I was getting calls from, you mentioned earlier, sort of 400 plus, suddenly had an app that was going to save everybody's lives, and there were people contacting me saying, some of them thought I'd get them an interview with the Prime Minister or the Minister of Health or whatever. And and they were so frustrated. They'd never been in health before, never experienced the sector before. And suddenly they thought that, all doors were going to open all of a sudden and they were going to all be embraced, but you've got to commit to the sector and you've got to be persistent and you've got to build relationships and those relationships will bear fruit. But you've got to be prepared to put the grind in and you know that it's going to take time. Some of the people that were suddenly thinking that they were going to make hay and not understanding the health system, they didn't, frankly, they probably only last days, not even weeks. So they were sort of like, oh crikey, well, I'm not gonna waste my time on this if I can't sell my solution straight away. Why would I bother? But it doesn't happen like that in health, does it?
No, that's right. And it was crazy to hear some of those cases where actually people were investing hundreds of thousands of dollars into trying to build something that they thought were going to go and solve that that problem, and then turn around and just be dumbfounded that, you know, the government or whatever, we're just going to turn around and write them a big fat check and deploy it, you know, like it was so some of those stories were crazy. But I think you're right. It definitely is a sector that as you mentioned, you got to be committed to. You've got to build and foster those relationships, and actually even understanding the mechanisms and the funding incentives and all of that, because all of that ultimately plays a role in, you know, what can actually come to life and what can be what can be used and what can actually be commercialized, right? And when you think about some sort of digital solution,
Yeah, that was during that time. I had a pretty stock standard line really to test the commitment and even understanding, because a lot of them would say, well, how do I get my breakthrough? You know, how do I get the doors opening? And I said, well, you know, firstly, you got to invest just a few hundred dollars and become an NZ HIT member. and that, you know, that gets you on the board, right? You know, you get to start playing with the big boys. and you know, most often they went, really? I gotta give you a few hundred dollars. And I said, well, you know, how many thousand are you prepared to invest or have already invested? And if you're quibbling about a handful of $100 now, well, I think you probably got a question whether you're actually going to be committed to this, or are you just chasing what you think are huge profits, which you're never going to see anyway. And some of them came on board, you know, to be fair to them, but the majority went, nah, we can do this by ourselves. But that, you know, you don't see them now; they're not there. So that's my little plug for NZ HIT, of course, but also for yourselves, you know, because you and Brett and WebTools have committed to the sector. You know, you haven't sort of come like a fly by nighter and said, well, you know, we can build this stuff really quickly, and if we can't, we'll go find something else to do. You've stuck with it, so good on you. Now people wanting to get a hold of you, so check out your website, which is webtools.health. Yep. That's just as simple as that. WebTools being WebTools, one word, .health. And, obviously they can get a hold of you, Harry, through that.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Jump online, give us a follow on LinkedIn as well. We're always chucking up information and some of our case studies and stuff and what we're working on, just WebTools on LinkedIn as well. So, more than happy to hear from anyone that's keen for a bit of a chat.
Yeah, excellent. Good on you. And even just to, yeah, you love getting hold of you, telling you how great your rugby teams are. And so, if they really want to grease you up and get in your good books, they can do that, can't they?
Not like me.
But hey, listeners, I've really enjoyed this. I hope you have. As I always say, share the love around, please. Just share this episode with your friends, your networks, and your colleagues. There's some good stories in here about what Harry's doing, what WebTools are doing, the fantastic area of Canterbury and Christchurch. Despite what I was saying, it is a fantastic area, frankly, just like all of New Zealand. And make sure to subscribe. We'd love to see you back joining into more of our shows. So, hey, thanks, Harry. I hope you've enjoyed it. Got good value from the discussion.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. No, it was great. And big thanks to you as well. Probably nice opportunity to thank you for your hard work over the last sort of 5 or 6 years in your role. It's been great. And thanks to NZ Health IT. It's been awesome. And, look forward to seeing you on the show.
Yeah, no, thanks, mate. And, I've enjoyed your support and WebTool support over the years. And it's, like we were saying before we started this interview, things are in a really good shape, and so comfortable to be able to move on, and the next person comes in and adds their flavor and their particular magic, these sort of things need refreshing at time to time, so it's good timing. So thanks, mate, and thanks, listeners. You've apologies in retrospect for all the rugby talk, but you know me, I can't help that. Okay, see you, Harry. See you,
listeners. Yeah, mate. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Digital Health Insights podcast with Scott Arrell. Make sure to subscribe and join us again for more news, views, and stories from key health and tech leaders. For more information, please head to our website at www.nzhit.nz, where you'll find links to resources, news, events, and much more.